Bulletin says a scripture reading is next, and it doesn't tell you what it is. That's my fault for not getting the information to the secretary. But I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. To set the stage for our thoughts this morning. And this is Paul speaking. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And the pastor asked me about 4 weeks ago if I could do this morning. I almost said no. And I have a very good reason. See, I can't ride my, or couldn't ride my bicycle, and that's when I do a lot of my thinking, somewhere in the middle of nowhere between here and Snelling. That's when good thoughts sometimes come to you. But I did think of something to share, and it does grow out of that idea that I couldn't bicycle. If you look at your calendar, it's 10 days past August 15. And August 15 was 3 months from my surgery. A lot of you know about that, knew about that. And I thought I would have to wait weeks for the blood thinner to get out of my system. And then the doctor told me just 4 days. So last Sunday, I rode around in the cul-de-sac with my grandkids up in the Seattle area. Which gets me to what I really want to say. That was an indication that I have recuperated well. And I praise God for that. And I thank all of you again for your concern, for your prayers on my behalf. A lot has happened. I always thought when you get anesthesia, you know, there's something that gets disconnected so you don't feel pain. I learned that I was actually in a medically induced coma. I guess they didn't want my body to twitch while they were working on me. I saw Clayton Sugg turn into a rabbit and scamper away. It's been 10 years... since some of you remember, 10 years ago, I was really sick, and it took months of them figuring out. The doctor who finally did was so happy that I was there because I was a full-blown case of endocarditis. She told me, usually we people that are anemic a little bit, we prescribe some iron pills. We tell them, come back in 3 months. And all those 28-year-old young doctors, they all wanted to see my feet. They all wanted to hear the sloshing of my heart. But they told me back then, someday you'll need your valve replaced. And the someday grew into 10 years. And they didn't replace my valve. They actually rebuilt it. I carry a card in my wallet that says what I have in me. Piece of Gore-Tex. The only thing I knew about Gore-Tex, my son in Seattle tells me, Gore-Tex clothes shed water, and breathe. And I say, I don't need that. I can wait till April 15, and we don't have any rain for 6 months. But I have a piece of Gore-Tex in me where they rebuilt my valve. But enough detail. I share this only to say that God is good. And that does not minimize my awareness of the skill of the doctors. I was very fortunate. I had very good care throughout. I'm grateful to God and to all of you. But it's also caused me to think over these 10 years, do I really want to live longer? I joked with the doctor, you know, I don't eat too much sugar, so probably no diabetes. I'm sort of careful with the cholesterol stuff. So if you fix my heart, what's left? Alzheimer's. And that's no fun either. I have known people who've gone through that. So But anyway, I did decide to go through. And the doctor also told me, everybody wants to live longer. I tried to tell him, hey, we can be content. We have a hope. We can be content. He just almost laughed at me. He says, they come when they're 65. I put a new one in. When they're 80, after 15 years, it wears out. They come back, and I put another new one in. And I guess we all want to live longer. And this may sound morbid, but I think we also all want to die in our sleep someday, right? That's the reality. We have a wonderful hope, but there is a reality. Our Sabbath school lesson this morning talked of that, you know. They weren't sure what would happen to the people who died before Jesus came back. And of course, all the people under 29 and a half or so, are you shy? Or are we really a middle-aged church? The ones under 30 or so, they don't even think about this. So if you want to tune out, you have my permission. So you can think of this as the musing of a sort of old man. But maybe, hopefully, you'll find something in it that will help you in your walk with God. I've thought a lot about Hezekiah during this time. Remember the story of Hezekiah? There's about 7 chapters in the Bible, and I won't read them all to you, but 2 Chronicles 29, 2 Kings 18, and Isaiah 36 starts 3 passages, and you might want to read them sometime. Hezekiah was a good guy. After a lot of evil and mischief by prior kings, he tore down a lot of the idol-worshipping places. He reformed. When they were attacked by Assyria, he prayed and God delivered. And the Assyrians went home. And I don't know, 100,000 or something like that were slain by God. And there were many gifts after that. And Hezekiah put them in the treasury. But then Hezekiah got sick. And he didn't like it any better than we did. So what did Hezekiah do? He asked to get well. He asked for more life, right? Do you remember how many years? 15 years. And he asked for a sign to make sure when Isaiah told him, yes, God will give you extra time. Do you remember what the sign was? He actually thought through, wait a minute, the shadow on the sundial, if it moves forward, I guess that could happen more easily. So he specified that the shadow on the sundial would go back 10 steps. And it did. And what happened? He got well. He had more time. And then the visitors came. And what did he do? Isaiah showed them that treasury with all these things in it. And Isaiah came back to visit again. And he said, I hear there were people here. Who were they? What did you say to them? He said, hey, I showed them my treasury. And what did Isaiah say? The Bible doesn't say he called him a fool, but in my Bible, which has paragraph headings, which helps me find things quickly sometime. It kind of puts that word in there. Hezekiah's foolishness. What was he supposed to say? God is good. God provided. So Isaiah said, hey, all that stuff that you showed them, guess what's going to happen to it? Do you remember? They're going to take it. So did Hezekiah get frustrated? No. Hezekiah repented again. And he was promised that the evil that would come would not come during his life. But during these last months before my surgery, I thought about Hezekiah a lot. And I guess maybe because I know that even open heart surgery is now very complex. I mean, the list showed 15 doctors' names, I think, in that surgery on that day. And that's not counting the technicians and nurses and all the rest. But it is also very routine. And gradually my prayer turned around more and more. God, help me use the extra time wisely. Now, how much extra time do I have? Anybody going to guess? Oh, statistically, if you make it past 59 or 60 without an accident or cancer, chances are good for 75 or 80, right? And if you know who I am, you can, how old I am, you can calculate out what that amounts to. But I could also get hit by a car tomorrow, and everything the doctors did and that your taxes and Medicare paid for would have been for naught. But to shelve that political comment. And I think this applies not just to my maybe 15 years, but it applies to a lot in life. I hope that you will pray the prayer that when you are given a gift, whether it's an extra 15 years or an extra $15, that you use it wisely. That is one of two thoughts I want to share with you. The second one is on a broader scale, maybe. Isaiah was part of a culture, part of a religion that emphasized, if you obey, I will bless you. If you mess up, if you choose to disobey, remember, I will curse you. And you can go back to Deuteronomy 27 and following, and you can read all of those blessings and all of those curses. There's one or two that say they're an abomination, and people kind of latch onto that word and want to still apply it. In Deuteronomy, that was the last of the instructions and reciting all the dealings of God with the people and all the rules that he gave them. And when they were to cross the Jordan, they were actually to gather, and the chapter lists which six tribes would go on the hillside of Mount Gerizim and which six tribes would go on the hillside of Mount Ebal on opposite sides of this valley. And they were to recite those blessings and cursings. Now, there's two things about that. One of them is they were given all of these instructions, and there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of minutia, and it's fun to read that and reconstruct the sanctuary, all those other things. But they were given it at a low point in their walk with God. When you spank your child for bad misbehavior, or when you offer a cookie for good behavior, do you keep doing that when they're 15 and 17 and 19? You hope that they learn. You hope that they will do right because it is good, not just to get the reward of the cookie. And I think that a lot of that minutia and a lot of those rules, and it doesn't mean they aren't still helpful, but they were to bring them back to where Abraham already was. That they learn more about God by knowing all the different color threads in the sanctuary tapestry? Or did Abraham learn more about God when he took Isaac up on Mount Moriah? My guess is the latter. But the other reason for thinking about this and asking you to think about it with me, for years and years and years, that was the evangelism plan. If you guys behave, I will bless you. People all around will notice, and they will come. And they came to Hezekiah, only he forgot the plan, and he didn't share what he should have shared. Now, in the New Testament, God stopped using a particular nation. He stopped using that structure. It doesn't mean he doesn't bless. It doesn't mean he doesn't answer prayer. But he stopped using that system. The discipline was largely left to Caesar. Remember, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. He has the power of the sword because I gave it to him. And the blessings. God did not always answer a prayer. Of course, some of that goes back even in the Old Testament, because there's a psalm that talks about, don't fret about the bad guys who are getting rich. When we mix these two concepts, when we take too much of the old and mingle it with the new, we come up with some weird, confusing things. On the negative side, we come up with people wanting to act as God's executioner and bomb an abortion clinic. Remember when that, it's been a while, but that was in the news. On the other side, we had people telling us, oh, God was using those guys who flew into the World Trade Center to teach this nation a lesson, because from their perspective, the nation has gone astray. And we do a lot of mischief as a nation, but we also still do a lot of good. So, I remember a prayer session where two people were anointed. One person recovered, the other one did not. You'll laugh at this one, but years ago, there was a situation and people were praying for me. And the prayers weren't answered. They could see that. And somebody actually came and asked me what my secret sin was, that the prayers weren't answered. It sounds horrible. I just kind of laughed it off. But sometimes I think it's because we mingle these two concepts. The Old Testament approach, at least from Sinai on, was very much, if you do it right, God's going to bless you. Remember in the time of Christ, the rich people said, we are blessed. And they looked down on the poor people, which is why God gave what Jesus said, the Beatitudes. Every one of the Beatitudes was to straighten out a misconception of God and of how God deals with his people. And that's why being grateful for my situation, thinking about Hezekiah, I hope maybe in these musings that you will find something that will help you in your walk with God this week. In conclusion, three things. First one in two parts. God cares, God hears prayer. Secondly, our ultimate prayer really should be not for an extra 15 years, but that Jesus comes quickly so that I don't need those. Well, for me, it's not exactly 15 years, but it's sort of in that neighborhood. Secondly, whatever gift God has given you, I trust that your prayer along with me is that we will use it wisely. And thirdly, realize that there were purposes for those Old Testament blessings and cursings, and they do not totally carry across. So avoid those pitfalls that I have alluded to with a few examples. We hope that God answers yes. But with Paul, back to the scripture reading that I asked you to read with me. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's pray. Once again, Father in heaven, we thank you for your watch, care, and blessings. Whatever shape, whatever nature that blessing may have been, we thank you, we praise you. And now as we go from this place, we ask you to walk with us through another week. In Jesus' name, amen.